Thank you, preacher. If you got your Bibles tonight, I'd like for you to turn them to 1 Kings chapter number 20. While you're turning, I'm sorry, 21. As you're turning your Bibles tonight, I'd like to say thank you to so many of you, not just the college professors. And I'd like to say thank you to you and Pastor Carter and all of you and come here to go to Bible college. And what a blessing it's been to be so much more than that, to be a part of this church. And Bible college is just such a small part of the training that you get here. And just fall in love with the church and the people. And if I went into all the things that I've learned here outside the classroom, I wouldn't have time tonight to get all those things done in the message. But I thank each one of you, and from people teaching me to lay carpet, amen, and some things that I didn't know. I mean, all the way to just some things that I didn't know about cleaning toilets and things like that. But I thank the Lord for this place, and what a blessing it's been to raise my family here the last few years and just be a part of the ministry, and not only be a college student but to be on staff. What a privilege that is. So I thank you for it, but even more so the privilege of being able to preach tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we get into the message. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I thank you for your many blessings. Dear God, I pray that you'd be with me. Dear God, anoint my lips. I don't want to say anything that you wouldn't have me say. I don't want to do anything you wouldn't have me do. Dear God, I pray you'd anoint me afresh with your Holy Spirit, dear God, tonight, that you just, dear God, give me power beyond my own means, dear God, that you just speak through me. Just use me as your vessel tonight. I pray that you do what I cannot do, that you'd send your Holy Spirit into the hearts of these people, dear God, and open their hearts and their ears and their minds to the Word of God tonight, that it wouldn't just be another Wednesday night where we show up for church, dear God, and we'd leave unchanged, dear God, but you'd let the Word of God change our lives, that we might be different before we leave the house of God. I beg you tonight for it, dear God. I ask you for it. I ask you again for your power. And I pray that you'd be with the story that's here, dear God, that you'd open our minds and our hearts and just, dear God, use the message, dear God, to show us some things about today and how you've dealt with my life with it. And we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In chapter 20 of 1 Kings, you might know the story. Most of you know the story about Naboth and the vineyard that's very familiar tonight, but in chapter 20, if you were to read it, you know that there's a very familiar story about how God saves even this evil king of Israel, Ahab, and he's because the Syrians come up and they say that, you know, God's after God says, listen, I'm going to prove to you, and he had a chance to see the hand of God and how God saves the people of Israel, and how that he says, I'm going to save you, and so that you can know that I am the Lord. And then he comes back again. He says, listen, you need to prepare yourself, because in a year they're going to come back. And they do. And God again steps in and says, listen, I'm going to save you again, but it's because they said that I'm the God of the mountains and not the God of the valley, and I'm going to do it again. I'm going to show you again that I am the Lord. And so he saves Ahab again, and then after all that, he spares. You see right at the end of the chapter there in chapter 20, Ahab's not having a good day because God, you know, he spares the Ben-Hadad and lets him, you know, try to give himself a name rather than do what the Lord wants him to do and to kill this evil king and to take care of this thing for Israel. But no, he spares his life, and they go on. And now we're in chapter 21, and we see that here's this guy that's had some pronouncements already from God on some judgment on him, and he's sad, and he's kind of distraught a little bit. But now he goes, and instead of turning to God and asking God for forgiveness, instead of trying to go back to God and try to do right and see if God will extend some days or kind of pull the judgment off and give him some mercy, now he turns to the world. He turns to things to make himself happy. You know that, and I don't think this is the first time you ever heard this. You know, things don't make people happy. You know, things don't. You know, the happiest, the only things that ever made me happy were giving things to my kids. You know, that's the happiest, when I give it to somebody else. That's the only things that ever truly made me happy, is when I get to see my kids' face on a Christmas morning and they get a little teeny something, and man, they think it's the greatest thing in the world. You know, now when I was a kid, some things made me happy, okay, for a little while on Christmas morning, but you know, it never makes you happy, you know, but you know, it's a lasting thing when you see your kids open some stuff on Christmas morning. But here we're going to see in the story that Ahab is after some things. And in verse 1 there, chapter 21, we'll read the first four verses. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth, the Jezreelite, had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Syria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it.
Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said unto Ahab, the Lord forbid it me, that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab came into the house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken unto him, for he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. Now I want you to see some things, and if you know the rest of the story, Naboth loses his life for doing what's right, for doing what the law. If you were to read back into the Old Testament all the way back in Leviticus chapter number 25, you'd find that it was unlawful for a man to sell the inheritance of his father to a man unless he was destitute, absolutely poor. The only way that he could get substance for his family was to sell the land. And even then, if he wasn't able to redeem it, or a fellow brother that was very close to him, a kinsman redeemer would redeem the land back for him, or in the year of Jubilee, he would receive the land back. But we see all that in chapter 25, and Naboth knows this. Now, he's not trying to be ignorant to the king. He's not trying to withhold anything from the king, but he knows what's right, and he knows the law of God, and he's trying to do what's right by the law. And he says to the man, now listen, he says, the Lord forbid it me. Now, the greatest thing about that, you can check all kinds of new versions, and it doesn't say it that way. It changes the word forbid it. It changes some things there in it. And we see in the King James Bible, the only Bible that's the Bible in English for us, amen, we see that the Bible gets it right when it says, the Lord forbid it me. He's not saying, I'm not willing to sell it to you, king. He's not saying, I got some sentimental value to this thing, although all those things might be true. He says, the Lord is forbidding it me to sell it to you. And then it gets it even better if you don't understand it. And people say they can't understand the book. You go down to verse number 4 and it says, And he had said, I will not give it thee, the inheritance of my fathers. So if you didn't understand it, the Lord forbid it me. He said, I will not give it to you. Why? Because it was wrong for him to sell the land. It was against the Lord God. He'd have been going against what God had told him to do to sell that thing. Listen, I want to preach a message to you tonight. If you want a title for the message, there's some things that are not for sale in this life. There's some things that we can't sell out, some things that we can't let go on. There's some things that God has laid down for us in this book that we can't sell out on, that we can't step aside and we can't turn away. We can't give up to the world. Listen, you know, the world has always been just like this. I see the world in Ahab. He says, listen, he comes to him. He says, you know, if he had wanted money, he realized that Naboth, it might not have been the best vineyard that you ever saw in your life. But he comes, he says, listen, I'm going to give you a better vineyard than that. Well, I find that offensive to start with. If Naboth, that thing had been in his family for generations, all the way back when Joshua told him, hey, you go set up camp right over there. That's where you can plant your vineyard over there. That's where you can be at over here. Whenever he got their inheritance there, listen, that had been in his family for a while. But he says to him, I'll give you a better vineyard than that. But I want this one. Listen, there was some value there. You know what? The world always comes up and tries to tell you, you know, well, I'll give you something a little better than this over here, but we're going to take this. Listen, they always want to, it's always greener on the other side of the fence. It's always something on the other side that the world wants to give you. But friend, I don't know about you, but I think that there's some things in our lives, there's some things that we ought to set and plant our feet when you find it in the Word of God and you got Scripture for it. You better plant your feet and say, listen, I'm not going to go. Listen, my Savior, give it to me. I'm not going to give up on it. It's not for sale. Listen, friend, I don't know, but I don't think that when they offer you a better vineyard, you better stay put. Yeah. Amen? You better plant your feet and stay right where you're at, because there's not a better vineyard out there. You know, I'd be remiss. Listen, the Holy Spirit led me to say this. I want you to listen, you know, that's how people are with churches. Right. You know, they want to hop ship and jump to another church down the street and everything else. Listen, you're not going to find a better vineyard than this one right here. You're not going to find a better place than this church right here. We're not leaving this place because we're upset or there's something going wrong. Listen, friend, I feel like it's the Lord's will that we go where we're going. Amen. But listen, but when the world starts offering you a better vineyard, oh, they got a little better music program over here. They got a little better something over here. Listen, I'll give you a better vineyard than that. Listen, there ain't one better for you. You better stick with the one that God gave. You better stick with the one that's your inheritance from God. Amen. My Savior gave it to me. I'm not going to let go of it. Listen, then he says to him, he said, I'll give you money for it. I bet Ahab, I can guarantee you, you know, he's dealing with this guy. I bet he says, well, name your price. Whatever you want for it. Name your price. I mean, you know, I'll give you money for it, whatever you want. Listen, I'll give you a better vineyard. I'll give you money, whatever you want. Listen, you know, the world's just like that. Right. Listen, I mean, they'll give you a better vineyard, but listen, that's not, they're going to come with a counter offer for you, friend. They're going to offer you a better vineyard than they got over there, but then they're going to come with some kind of offer for money. Listen, they're going to try to buy you out. You know, the sad thing is that many Christians, man, they don't stand like Naboth stood. They get bought cheap in this world. There's a mess of them to get bought cheap by the world. Listen, they're not willing to trade it up for something better, but they'll sell completely out and stay right where they're at. Listen, I want you to look at Naboth. He says, the Lord forbid it me in verse number 3. The Lord forbid it me. You know, I wish there's some Christians that would stand up today. Listen, we're going to list some things off in just a minute, but I wanted you to look at the scripture. You see how Naboth stood? He said, number one, listen, it didn't matter if Naboth said, man, this is my faith. Listen, I plowed this ground with my own two hands. I mean, my daddy plowed this ground, and my daddy's daddy plowed this ground. And all that didn't matter, because all that mattered was the Lord God had forbidden it for him. Listen, it doesn't matter where you went to church when you were a boy. It doesn't matter what all those things. It doesn't matter all your heritage, but it matters what the Word of God says. When you've got Scripture for something, man, you don't have to argue about all the heritage and all the things. I wouldn't do that because my dad would be disappointed or Pastor Carter would be disappointed. But how about the Lord God would be disappointed in me? Man, there's some things that ought not be for sale in our lives. Man, it's sad to see the church. Man, the church today, and I'm not talking about just this one. I'm talking about every church. Man, you look at fundamental churches today, man, there's some things that have been sold out, sold down the river. Stuff the Lord, man, I remember my preacher setting his feet, and man, there were things that were unchangeable, steadfast, that he showed me in the Word of God that I couldn't change on. Yet we're selling them down the street for cheap. We're not trading them for something that's better, I can tell you that. We're selling them out for stuff of the world. Listen, it's not just he was trying to be disobedient to the king. Can you see that tonight? Can you see it wasn't something he was being arrogant, and I got something the king can't get? I got something that the world, listen, it's not, you know, oftentimes as Christians, we get that way. Boy, we think we got it so much better. So much better that, man, we turn our nose up to the world and they don't want anything to do with us. It isn't about that. You realize that, friend? I mean, it is better. We got a better life. We got a better Christian life. We can be happier because we have joy and joy more abundant than in Jesus Christ. But wait, listen, it's not about that. It's not about all those things. It's about we've got the Lord. The Lord forbid it us. I can't sell those things out. Listen, you know when you stand fast and you get the old time pass, you stick with the old time way. I've noticed that the world, you know what? When they can't buy it, when they can't trade you for something better, when they can't do it, all of a sudden they start looking, man, there must be something to this thing. Man, I better join it. You know what would have done Ahab good if he had just gone down there and worked with Naboth for a while? If he got down in the vineyard and understood that it was God, if he just talked to Naboth for a while, he'd find out, man, Naboth's got something that I need. He loves the Lord. He's trying to do what the Lord wants him to do. That'd been a new idea for old King Ahab, wouldn't it? That'd have been an idea. Man, he might have got saved. Man, but I don't want to get into Jezebel. She stepped in. That would have, maybe he would have got saved if it wasn't for old Jezebel, amen? But I want you to see here, you know, there's some things that we can't sell out on. You know, the Lord ordained the family. We can't sell out the family. I mean, that's something God ordained. That's something God started. Listen, it don't matter what, you know, the world's trying to give you something better for the family, aren't they? Oh, a man and a man, and a woman and a woman, and now that's a family. That's not a family. It doesn't matter what the world tries to tell you or define the family as. The family is what God ordained, a man and a woman and their children, and to reproduce and to produce this, I mean, to fill this place up. Amen. With Christians that you trained after this book, that love the Lord and want to change the world through soul winning, and go ye in all the world and preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. I mean, that's what God ordained. It doesn't matter what the world ordained. It doesn't matter what the world says is better. Man, they're trying to trade us all kinds of things. Yes. You can't even watch TV. There's not one good family show on there. There's not a mom and dad. If there is a mom and dad and a whole family structure like it ought to be, then dad's a wimp and doesn't know anything, and mom's running the house behind his back. That's what's on TV today. That's what the world wants you to see. That's what the world defines as a family. It's not what the family is, friend. We sold it out. You know, there's many Christian homes that are just like that. They take that, and that's just okay. That's all right. How about the church? We can't sell the church down the road. There's some things that aren't for sale, and I'm not just talking about a building, friend. I'm talking about the people. We're supposed to love our brother. The church is our brother in Christ. How many of us have we so, I mean, listen, brother, when we ought to love our brother and to work with our brother and pray for our brother, we're ready to stab him in the back. We're ready to push him to get ahead. That's not what the church is founded on. That's not what the church is. I mean, it's an independent, fundamental Baptist, Big B Baptist. That's what the church is. It's not philosophy or experimental, non-denominational, Presbyterian, whatever you want to call it. I mean, it don't matter. You can put whatever kind of name on it you want, but if it is an independent, fundamental, and Baptist, amen, I don't want no part of it. I mean, that's what I was taught. I got that from this book. And when they stop lining up with this book, I'll be something else. But I don't know about you. I'm kind of like Tony Hudson. I don't care what they do. I'm going to hold the name. I'll make such a fuss. I'll be so fundamental they won't want to be a part of me. Amen? How about the book? How many people sold the book out? Went down the street and changed their lanes and everything else. Boy, we got this. I was telling Pastor, we were talking the other night about the ESV, this new thing that come, new kid on the block, amen. Some kind of junk out there. Try to redo some other old version and try to come back and pervert the scripture in a new way for a different generation. We'll give you something better. That's exactly what they said. Here it is. We've given you something better. Boy, the King James, it had 50-some translators. We're going to give 100. Yeah. We're going to double it up. It's better in so many ways. Amen. We still took some things out. It's just, 40 or 35. It's only 36,000 words lighter, but, I mean, we gave you something better. Amen. How would you like that? You're in a vineyard. You're only 35,000 trees shorter than what you had before with the other vineyard, but it's better. Amen. It's a better vineyard. The roads are harder. You're not going to get stuck in there. Amen. Less to chew on, Listen, I don't know about you, but I'm going to stick with the book. I'm going to stick with the King James Bible. I know I don't need to beat that dead horse here, amen. It's not a dead horse. It's a live horse, amen. And if you get tired of hearing it, I'll say it again. Amen. How about old-fashioned soul winning? Well, I tell you what, I heard before I came here, some disturbing news. Somebody told me that door-to-door soul winning was dead, that it didn't work anymore. Yeah. Amen. And I feel like Brother Tony Hudson, we just don't work it like we used to. Right. We just don't go out and try to find them like we used to. There's lost people all over the place. Yes. Looking for people. I mean, listen, they're not just in the jail. They're not just down the street. They're not just in the nursing home. They're everywhere. They live in their houses. And if they knew what they needed, they'd come to us and ask for it. If there was a sign that was up in the sky and they realized, listen, if President Obama told them they needed it, they'd probably come and ask us for it. Because they'll believe anything he says. So if we can just get him to... Old-fashioned soul winning. I'm talking about, man, when we really... I'm not talking about confrontational. I'm talking about caring. Yeah. I'm talking about going to the door and weeping for the soul. And telling them, brother, that if you don't get saved, you're going to die and bust hell wide open. If you don't get saved, you've got no choice but to go to hell. If you don't receive Jesus as your Savior, He already did it all. He already paid it all for you. Listen, that's my inheritance. As an independent fundamental Baptist, that's your inheritance tonight. And my Savior gave it to me, and I'm not willing to sell it. Lord forbid it. What a sad day it would be when the independent fundamental Baptist churches cease to knock doors. When you come in on Thursday night and one person would be in there and it would be the preacher and nobody else is going soul winning. Man. Saturday. Whatever day you want to go. You know what? I bet Pastor wouldn't even care if you went on Monday. Amen. The Lord would not strike you dead with a lightning bolt if you decided to go on Monday if that was your day off. I guarantee you. Old-fashioned soul winning. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. What a blessing it would be if the old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist churches decided to be old-fashioned soul winners again. If Christians just decided, you know what, that's right to do. I used to do that. Boy, when I was a teenager, I used to win people to Christ. Boy, when I was a teenager in the teen group, I used to go with them. I used to go out and tell people about Jesus. Before I got to be a staff member, I used to be a soul winner.
Yeah, that's good.
Before I got too busy, I was a soul winner. When I got too busy in the Lord's work, I was a soul winner. God help us. You better quit the church and go to work somewhere else so you can be a soul winner.
Yeah.
If you're too busy to be a soul winner, boy, I feel bad for you. God help you. God commands us to be soul winners. You say you're beating it and you're beating it. That's what preaching is. Amen. That's what you're trying. Listen, I'm just preaching the way y'all trained me to preach. Amen. That's, amen. Don't be mad with me now. Amen. How about old-fashioned standards? Well, that's the thing of the past, isn't it? You wear your banner of standards up and start preaching on that stuff. Well, you're a Pharisee, aren't you? Amen. You're a Pharisee quick. Amen. A whited sepulcher. That's what they want to tell you. They want to light you up like that real quick. But you know what I found in my life, and I'm not trying to tell you that I'm perfect. Listen, I'm not trying. I'm preaching now, okay, to myself as well. But you know, a Pharisee, they used to have it. They had it on the outside. They had it right.
Yeah.
And they were dead on the inside.
Right.
But you know what? I ain't never seen anybody that was right on the inside that wasn't right on the outside.
Right.
Amen? And usually the way it works is you get right on the outside, and somewhere along the line, some of the inside starts. I mean, you get saved first. Amen? I'm not, don't hiccup now, all right? Don't get mad with me. Don't start writing down, I'll be over in the fellowship hall. You can tell me all the critiques of what I did wrong, amen? But friend, I'm telling you, if you're not right on the outside, you're not going to be right on the inside. Man, I tell you, when my pastor was old-fashioned. He's a little bit older than Pastor Carter, about 2 months, all right? All right? And he's old-fashioned. And I mean, he just believed people ought to dress right when they come to church. They ought to sanctify God's house. And I'll be honest with you. You say, well, that's not the Lord's house. This is the Lord's house. Well, why don't you dress it up?
Amen?
Amen? Why don't you bring it to church all dolled up a little bit? Amen? I mean, somebody might mistake you for a Christian on the way to church. Amen? If you stop in for a hamburger or a cheeseburger on the way. Amen? McDonald's workers might, where are you going, church? Amen. Let me tell you about it. Yeah, let me tell you about my church. I love my church. Amen. Then you get to be a soul winner. Amen. And I'm not talking about all getting all dolled up with a suit and tie and everything. That'd be great if you wanted to do that. But you know, sometimes, I mean, you can dress up nice and come to church and look right. Boy, me and Brother Chad, about a year ago, we were in Popeye's Chicken. It's the only time I ate in Popeye's Chicken that I was here. And I never went back. And we were in there, and it was late at night. We were doing these men's dorms down here, and it was, what was that? It was late. That was one of the only places open up here in town. You know, they roll the streets up at 8:30. And we were out there at Popeye's Chicken, and they were still cooking chicken, and chicken sounded good because that was the only thing open. And we went in there, and a brother come up to us, and, you know, he said, you boys are Christians, aren't you? And we were dirty, man, from working. I mean, nasty. And he come sat down with us, and we had a good fellowship. We had a good time of fellowship. You know, I don't know what it was. He didn't tell us all about what it was that made us good. Listen, you know, when you, even if you got it on the inside, it don't matter how sometimes how dirty the outside is. Boy, they see that joy. Amen. I want to wear, how about wearing that in the church? You know, I mean, in the parking lot, too. I remember what it was. My mom and dad were Independent Fundamental Baptists. They argued all the way into the parking lot. And then the door popped open, and it was, hey. How are you doing? Amen. But standards. I mean, you know, I'm not just talking about dress. I know that that's where we hang our hat on that. But how about some moral standards? I mean, what we let our families do and where we let them go and where we want them, let them watch and everything. And hey, you know, if it's good for camp, it's good for your home. You know, if they dress a certain way at camp, it's good for your home. You know what's even better for that? It's better for your home because you're backing up what the church does. You know, it's a lot easier when the church has standards and you have standards too. I guarantee it. Listen, I'm not that old. I'm getting older all the time, but I'm not that old, and I haven't been real far down the road, and I just graduated Bible college. I know all those things, but listen, this will ring true, amen? If you back up what the church preaches and what the church teaches and what they do at their own camp and on their own facilities, listen, your children will turn out a lot better than if you go the other way. Listen, be mad with me if you want. You taught me to preach like this. I mean, you got to Bible college. I came here to go to Bible college. Amen? Pharisees. That's what we are. Pharisees, because we try to do right. Amen? Listen, I know all those things, and I know that, you know, we can preach these things, and that's why it gets preached here. Amen. I believe wholeheartedly it ought to be preached and not policed. Amen. Yeah. I'm not going to follow you home tonight. Yeah. Amen. What are you wearing? You know, I'm not going to do that. You know, it's not like that, but it ought to be preached. Amen. Amen. Standards. I mean, high standards. Wanting our kids to do right. Wanting our kids and praying for our kids to become soul winners. Wanting our kids to live for the Lord. Wanting our kids, having them at every activity. Having them at everything the church does. Supporting the church. Loving the church. Being with the church. Listen, that's the standards that we need to have in our life. Walk and talk and breathe and live this book in front of our children. Whatever happened to the standards like that? Whatever happened to wanting to be like that? Boy, it's a thing of the past. We call it old-fashioned because that's what it's become. And I tell you, I don't want it to be like that in my home. I want my home to just know that's what it is. They don't know it's old-fashioned. That's why they need to turn their hearing aids off tonight. Amen over there. My kids, they need to turn it down. I think a couple of them got wore out already. I had them working. If you'd have been at my house today while we were loading boxes and everything, boy, they were working. Amen. I believe three little boys ought to get worked to death, right to the bone. Amen. And then not get paid for it. Amen. I fed you. That's why you work today. I'm going to let you sleep here tonight. Oh, yeah. I'm going to take you with me. You can stay if you want. You know. Amen. How about old-fashioned preaching? Amen. Calling it like you see it. I'm talking about, you know, by the foolishness of preaching it pleased God. Amen. That's what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians. Amen. It says that in that first chapter, it says, and it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. That's how God's pleased. You say that's foolishness. Yeah, that's what the Bible says. Amen. I mean, that's what the Bible says. You say people can't listen and they can't take that. You're on your way to hell if you don't receive Jesus Christ. That's what they need. They need the whole counsel of God preached to them. They can't just get mercy, 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 grace, 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 and all these things. They need the whole counsel. They need to know Jesus preached more about hell than he did any other thing. They need it. The world needs us to do right. But they want us to sell out. They want us to sell out on soul winning and on our preaching and on our music and on our standards. They want us to sell it down the river. They got something better. Every day they're coming up with something better to bring it to you and try to trade it off. But there's nothing better than that old hymnal sitting down in there and opening it up and singing the songs of God and getting excited about God. Man, this place ought to get loose when you realize that you're saved, that you're on your way to heaven, that you're only going to live forever. You ought to get excited. But no. You know, we don't realize the inheritance we have in God. But listen, we ought to stand up and bow our backs up like Naboth and say, listen, the Lord forbid it me. It's in this book, friend, and I'm not going to back down. It's in the law, friend. I can't let it go. It's not because I have to. You know, we're in the grace age today, and you don't have to live by the standards in this book. We're in the grace age today. You don't have to preach it like it always was. You don't have to stand up for the family. You don't have to go to the right kind of church. But it's good if you do, and it's great if you do. It's a better life if you do. Listen, friend, I don't know about you, but I don't want to sell it out. I want to bow my back up to the world. I want to bow my back up to the devil and spit in his eye and said, I'm not going to sell it. My Savior gave it to me. I'm not giving in my inheritance. You can't have it. You can't take it from me. Come on. And put up my dukes. If my end is like Naboth, then, Lord, I'll take it. You know, the three Hebrew boys, they went into that fire, and you know what? It surprised them when the Lord showed up. I guarantee you. They went in with every drop and ounce of faith that they could go in. You know, they didn't have any more faith than you do, friend. They had seen some answer to prayers. They had some trophies in their closet. I remember when they lined up with Daniel and said, listen, we ain't going to eat the king's meat. They can look back. I guarantee you when they were going into fire, they were going, Lord, we want you to answer our prayer again. Lord, we remember back when you answered our prayer. Would you do that for us again? Would you show this old wicked king that you reign and rule in the world? They said, listen, if you do that for us, we love it. But even so, if you don't, Lord forbid it, I'm not bowing to the image. We need some Christians that'll decide to live the Christian life every day, that won't sell out to the world because there's some things that this book says that aren't for sale. But they're sold out every day. Let's take it to a personal level, shall we? That was in general. That was my general message. Amen. Personally, how about your testimony? Testimony. You know, every one of us got one. Amen. And I know there's some people that I know I've ruined my testimony with. And I go to them, and, you know, I went home. And this one guy that used to work for us, I lost my temper. And I know that you all probably don't think that I could do that. But it happened one time. Maybe twice. But it happened one time. And I had to go to that brother. And the Lord laid him on my heart, and a burden for him, to win him to Christ. You know, my testimony was such in that brother's life when I witnessed to him, it might have been a deciding factor. It might have held him up. He hadn't been down to Landmark. He hadn't heard Pastor Carter say all those good things about me and all those things. All he remembers is that day that I lost my temper. Yeah. And my testimony is ruined, and I pray for that brother. And I witness to that brother every chance I get. But you know what? Man, I don't want many of them in this life. I want people to know me as being right with the Lord and walking with the Lord. And when they need something, boy, I could pray for them. I want people to come up to me and say, "Brother, will you pray for this?" When was the last time somebody walked up to you and said, "Will you pray for this? This is important to me. I mean, this is life or death. I need you to pray for this." Listen, I thank God that people have done that. I think I feel so unworthy when people do that for me. I think, oh my goodness, this person is counting on me to pray and to get a hold of God for them. Yeah. Listen, but that's what our testimony ought to reflect. Yeah. Within the church, not just in the community or the one person that you told 22 times that you were a Christian. Listen, but in the church, what do your brothers and sisters think of you? Would they ask you to pray for them when they really need it? What's your testimony tonight? Listen, you know the best part about that is you can change that thing.
Yes.
You can you can change that thing and walk a different line. You know, sometimes there are some people that'll remember it. There's some people that remember the old you. But boy, there's so many other people that say, you know what? Some of those people say, man, he's different. He's so different now. I remember back when he was like that. I remember back when, man, he cursed like a sailor. I remember back when he was wicked. I mean, he was worse than me. But now, man, something's happened to him. Boy, that's what I want. I want him to know that I'm a Christian. Not just think it. To know that something's different.
Yes.
Well, we don't need to sell that out. You know, but every day, how easy is it to sell out your testimony? It doesn't take but one time. Amen. One time in the wrong place. It's the wrong time. Outside, man, you think, man, and you know what I'm thinking right now? I'm thinking, boy, if I just follow them rules that the preacher set for me. Not the rules the preacher set. He preached them out of the book. Amen. But that's the way we always say it. We always say that preacher set them rules for me.
Yeah.
You know? But boy, I tell you what, man, you know, if you follow this book, you never get caught in a mall with something you ought not be wearing. Amen. If you follow this book, you'd never get caught in the wrong place in the mall, in the wrong store. Amen. If you'd follow this book, boy, people would look at your testimony and they'd be so excited. They'd be, man, there's somebody that's different. When they're having a time of adversity and they need somebody to look to, they could look to you. And they need that. You know, teenager, your friends need that in you. He said, "You're putting too much on me, Brother Barry. I've already got all these pressures." That's what you ought to be. Not just with the pressures, man. It ought not be pressure to live right, to do right. It ought to be pressure on you to do right. And if you're doing wrong, there ought to be more pressure. Well, I remember the group that I grew up with. Thank God for the teen group that I grew up in. Man, it was peer pressure to do right. If you did wrong, man, you were the outcast. You were the one. Oh, my goodness. I can't believe you did that, brother. And they tried to restore you. Why? When have you ever been in a place like that? Well, I hope that I can say that about our teen group. Can't you say it? Don't you wish that? Don't you want, how about you, teenager? Can they say that about you? Does somebody whisper something in your ear about something they're doing wrong and you just chuckle at it? How about you, adult?
Time. We sell out our time every day. You know, the Lord gives us so much time. I sit there and really, when you look at it, Brother Harvey helped me a lot. He gave me one of those time balancing the sheet out, and you start writing all your time down, and I figured out that I got like 5 hours a day that between the time I wake up and the time that I go to sleep, there's like 5 hours of my day if you take it in 15-minute increments that I wasn't doing anything. And I thought, man, you know, I take all that time, and if I work my time right, I got 5 hours of each day to spend either with my family or soul winning. I got 5 hours of my day. If I get this thing, if I work on it right, I got some time on my hands to do something. Listen, as busy as you might be, I'm talking, you know, working, going to Bible college, all those things, and usually, I don't know how your life is, but listen, if you don't think you got time, listen, you maybe ought to sit down with a chart and start writing down how much time you got and find a time. Listen, time is not an excuse. I'm too busy to go soul winning. Try that one when you get to the judgment seat. Amen. You get up there and your rewards, and you're wondering why all these crowns start to burn up in your hands. You wonder why you got nothing to lay at Jesus' feet. Boy, that's hard. You're saying, Brother Parsons, that's hard preaching. That's what we need. That's what we need. I tell you, you know why I'm at Bible college tonight? Because my preacher didn't cut me no slack. He jumped on me every time he could. And listen, and he wouldn't even try to stay on the mic for the internet. He'd have run up there and preached it in my face. And he might have called my name out from the pulpit if I fell asleep, he'd come out there. Amen. He'd tell me. He knew I needed it. He knew the only way I was going to change and do right is if somebody preached it and told you. How about your tithe? Uh-oh. And the preacher didn't pay me to say that. You know? He didn't even talk to me about it for. But you know what, man? So many of us sell that out.
Yes.
And you know how you sell it out? I can't afford to tithe. I'm going to go do this with that. I can't afford to tithe, but I'm going to pay those two truck payments and that boat payment this week. With it. I'm going to write the check, and then I'm going to void it and tell the Lord, you knew my heart. Amen?
Yes.
Listen, friend, I've been there. I've been there. I've heard it from every angle and heard everybody talk about, boy, I tithe every week. But sometimes I got to void the check.
Yeah.
Listen, that gets us. That hits us in the heart.
Yeah.
Amen? But that's what we need. That's what we need, because you know what? We don't need to be sellouts. We need to bow our back up and say, Lord, forbid it. The book tells me I ought to tithe. I'm going to be a tither. I'm going to be what the Lord wants me to be. I'm going to do what He wants me to do. Listen, my Lord and Savior told me I ought to do it, and I'm not giving it up for you, world, or anything, for a car, a boat, a house, anything. I'm going to tithe. That's how we ought to be. We ought to be like Naboth in everything that the book lays out. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter how we like it. It doesn't matter how it shakes down. It doesn't matter whether it's going to put us in the fire or Lake Naboth, where they come and lie on us and they stone us to death.
Yeah.
It ought to be right. To do right. To do right. To do right. There's some things you ought not sell out on. And the other things that we sell out on finally tonight, listen, how about the trophies in your life? You know, I was thinking about this tonight. Over in the gym, man, they got some trophies over there. It's a great big trophy case, man, full of all kinds of stuff. You know, if our Christian school went out of business, if they shut the doors, you know, the trophies ain't going to mean a whole lot anymore.
Yeah.
You know? You know, if you lose your testimony, all them trophies that you've had, you got setting up. Listen, one of the greatest messages I've ever heard was in here, and Brother Chan McMillan preached on those deadlines. He was preaching on Samson. And I've remembered that, man. It was one of the first Bible colleges when I was here. And he talked about those deadlines and that sometimes those trophies that you walk back by them. And even though it's a deadline, boy, he said, he stuck his hand in there with sweet honey to be eaten. Listen, I hear Pastor, listen, every morning that we meet over there, I hear Pastor talk about trophies, man, in his life. I heard him one morning talk about Brother Pritchard, how Brother Pritchard pulled him over and needed to be saved. You know, that's a trophy in my preacher's life. But boy, there's trophies in our lives we sell out every day because we don't want to have standards, because we don't want to do all the things this book lays out for us. And boy, we just
There's a trophy, man, that we could hold up, man, when times get bad and it doesn't seem like it's worth it anymore. You look back and you listen, some of them boys, you know what them boys walk by when they're playing football and they got their cleats on and they've been running all day and they're running wind sprints, doing grass drills and hitting the sled, and they walk by that trophy case and say, listen, I'm going to put one of them in there. Listen, my name's going to be on one of them. One of them footballs that's got all them signed signatures on it, that's what I'm going to do. Listen, how about some Christians that have trophies all around them? Listen, I listened to Pastor Carter talk about, man, the work and the things that he goes on, and I know it wasn't all easy. I know that there were some times that were some sleepless nights. I've heard him talk about the camp and when they were coming to get the kids, and I know it was hard, but listen, those are trophies in his life, and I listen to him as a man of God, and I go, I want some trophies like that. I walk by there, and I want to be like him. I want to be like Jesus, and I'm not giving up, and there's some inheritance that I've got in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm not willing to back up on him. I said, Lord, forbid it. Listen tonight. What have you been selling out on? What was the last thing you sold out on? Would you be with me tonight and just go back on all those things, man, and just draw a line in the sand tonight, set your feet, and say some things are not for sale? Would you bow your heads with me tonight? I'm going to turn it over to Pastor and whatever he wants to do. Dear Jesus, I thank you. The opportunity to preach your word. I thank you for this church and this place, and I thank you for these people. I pray you help us, dear God. I don't know what decisions were made tonight. I don't know who decided to do what. Dear God, there's so many good people, so many better Christians than me in this place. Lord, would you help us to draw a line in the sand on things we backed up on and say, listen, some things are not for sale. Help us not to sell out. Listen, the world, Lord, you know that the world wants to buy us so cheap. And so many times we think that that's the way. If we could just go that route, if we could just do the world, they're going to get us out of all these things and it'll be the answer. But the answer's in your book. It's always been in your book. Help us to stick with your book. Pastor Carter.
Let's stand with our heads bowed. Tremendous message to you and I that are here tonight. Invitation is going to be this. As Brother Barry was preaching, did the Holy Spirit remind you of something